This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest, Sarah Winokur. She's going to talk about her journey from science to writing. Sarah is a geneticist, researcher, and author. She writes historical fiction and cultural thrillers, hoping to make science accessible to readers while they're being entertained. Sarah has a master's degree in cytogenetics and a PhD in molecular genetics. And so she has a new book that she put out that we're going to be talking about today. Welcome to the show, Sarah. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, Mari. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful. So tell us the story about how you took that journey from science into now being an author.
Right. So I have been fortunate to have had two very rewarding careers. I was a research scientist in human genetics for about 25 years, and now I've reinvented myself as an author of fiction. So what precipitated that was that I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer a number of years ago. I am just fine, but at the time, I took a step back and decided to reinvent myself. And I've always enjoyed reading historical fiction, and I thought I would do one myself.
Fantastic. So I know, though, that you are very particular about having the science and everything, even though your books are fictional, everything to be precise and correct. So tell us a little bit about that. Yes.
Right. I do feel that, in general, scientists don't always do a stellar job of conveying what they do to the general public. So when I did decide to sit down and write this novel, I thought that I would incorporate genetics in a way that is fun and engaging and that people could sort of understand what it is we do. And it does play a role in the central mystery of the book, but the science piece is very realistic.
That's nice. I love that because when I read a book, you know, from a reader's point of view, I like for there to be some meat in it. I mean, we want to be entertained, right? But I also like there to be something in there that I learn, you know, something that my mind can connect to and chew on.
Exactly. I mean, it's important to be entertained, but I do enjoy those books in which I do learn a little something that maybe I wouldn't have known before.
Mm-hmm. I also think it makes the story more fascinating, at least, in my own opinion. So
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about the role that authenticity played in all of this for you.
Well, I did decide to write the book with a setting of Iceland. And the reason for that is that Iceland has a pharmaceutical company that has collected DNA on the majority of its citizens. It is voluntary. But I thought having set the book in Iceland, being an American citizen, I think it was very important to me to get it right, to get down the details of the customs and the language and the culture, because it's got to ring true to its setting.
Right.
And I think that was Janine Cummings wrote a book called American Dirt, which you've probably heard of, and I think the criticism of that book has been that it wasn't authentic in many ways. Mm-hmm. So I felt it was very important to be authentic. And I've been to Iceland many, many times and gotten to know the culture.
Right. Wow. So how did you discover that they had this bank with all this DNA records?
Well, I guess I had just heard of it as because I was a research scientist in genetics. Mm-hmm. And it is somewhat controversial, although it is a completely voluntary database. One of the issues with DNA databases is that when you think of it, DNA is not really just your own DNA. your relatives share that DNA. So it's somewhat of a controversial topic.
Very interesting. So this spawned a whole idea for you to create, you know, to create this novel. That's fantastic. You had to transition, though, from one career into another. Tell us a little bit about that. What were the difficulties and what were the good things about it?
Well, first of all, I would just like to say that it's never too late. If there's something that you've always wanted to do, and even if you don't have the experience or the training in that field, don't let that whisper in your ear that you can't do it. And certainly you will meet some challenges, as I did, but I took them as, you know, food for growth. And I took, you know, I had joined a critique group, and I just sunk my teeth into learning a new craft.
Right.
So I enjoyed the process.
Wonderful. What do you think was your biggest challenge, if you would share that with us?
Well, as a scientist, I would say that, you know, we are very analytical people. Mm-hmm. And the transition to writing a work of fiction and creative writing really stretches the mind in a way that scientists aren't generally used to. And so I had to sort of use all parts of my brain, the right brain and the left brain, and just pull it all together.
Right. And so after having done this, how did you feel about, you know, do you feel you're more enriched for it? Was it a great experience after looking overall at it?
It was a fantastic experience. I mean, I do appreciate the opportunity for change and growth and just expanding my mind in a way that I can now really actually appreciate other writings as much, mm-hmm. because I know what goes into it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Excellent. So what do you believe is a first step for a person who's trying to transition or wants to transition from one career to another? That's very different, just like in your case, the two careers are so different. One is more left brain, one is more right brain. Do you have any suggestions for someone who might be listening in and thinking about doing something like this?
You know, I think we're often intimidated by just taking that first step. But as with most things in life, you just can open a door to new experiences if you're just willing to reach out and take that step. You're not going to fall off a cliff. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if it's something that you've always wanted to do, I say dive in and take that step and see where it leads you.
Yeah, I love
You'd be
that.
Surprised.
So, Sarah, you had a scary step to take. They're always scary when you're doing something new. It's unknown. You don't know where it's going to lead. But now that the book
That's
is
right.
completed, how did you feel about the results of it?
I'm quite proud of it, to tell you the truth. I'm proud of the fact that, you know, I did take that step. I did. It was a fair amount of effort and work, but I truly loved doing the research and learning the craft, and I'm very proud of the outcome.
Yeah. You should be proud.
So I've gotten a lot of great feedback and reviews.
Fantastic. So. Very nice. So what do you think is the main message you'd like to bring to the public today?
Well, one of the central themes of the novel is that of perseverance, of never giving up. And if something is really important to you and it takes years or even decades to reach that goal, then every bit of time and effort you put into it will pay off. And at the very least, you know, you put your all into it.
Yeah.
So that is certainly one thing that I would like to bring to the public.
That's great.
Certainly there's also the issue of, you know, the science and DNA databases and having people consider you know, the pros and cons of contributing your DNA to these DNA databases.
Yeah. What is the purpose that they did this in Iceland?
The DNA database?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what Iceland is doing is actually quite admirable. They are utilizing, you know, it's a very small country. There are only about 350,000 people that live there. And for the most part, they're interrelated. And so it's a perfect kind of situation in which to tease out which DNA mutations cause disease. And so they're looking at common diseases like heart disease and cancer and even Alzheimer's and trying to figure out, you know, which DNA mutations predispose one to having these disorders in the hopes that they can use that information to develop therapeutics. So it really has a very noble purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. But you also have, you know, you have also, you do say you must consider really deeply if you want to contribute to that. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Right. Sure. Because, you know, with the database in Iceland, as well as the databases we're all familiar with, 23andMe and Ancestry and so forth, you contributing your DNA at the time may seem like it's going to be very protective and secure and private and coded, which it is. However, those companies could ultimately be sold, and those and that information, you know, used in the future. You know, we have a lot of laws in this country against discrimination in terms of employment and insurance and so forth based on your genetic makeup.
Yes.
But one never knows in the future, you know, whether those laws will be changed or whether the databases could be hacked. And so you've got to understand that is it's a remote possibility, but it certainly is a possibility. And as I mentioned, that, you know, your DNA is not yours alone. So you're sort of exposing, you know, information that could reveal, you know, the makeup of your relatives, your parents, your children, siblings, and so forth.
Right. Wow. That's I never even considered that. I've never done that, but I've heard. Actually, one of my daughters said she wanted to do one of those ancestry things. I didn't realize you're contributing your DNA. And this is like a light bulb for me that's what you're actually doing. And you're right, because we don't know what you're
doing. I actually have, you know, contributed DNA. But most people don't realize that you can choose to either have your DNA used for research purposes or to maintain complete privacy of your DNA. And so just to sort of really, you know what you're headed into. And if you don't want your DNA to be used, you know, for research purposes or other purposes, then you can sort of not tick that box.
Okay, good. Awesome information. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you'd like to call in and ask Sarah a question, you're welcome to call 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
We see the oppression that goes on before our eyes when priests and police get away with heinous crimes. The Veronica Journey on Amazon and Kindle. Once upon a time, the Pope controlled everything. People were slaughtered brutally, and whole cultures were destroyed for not submitting. What if the Vatican would have had guns, nuclear weapons, Hitler's technology, cars, and spaceships? The Veronica Journey on Amazon and available on Kindle.
Is pain keeping you awake at night? Do you often feel not good enough? Through actsfortransformation.com, ACTS, numerate for transformation.com, you can discover your core emotional needs and raise awareness of your limiting beliefs and your hidden potential. Kim Nai-Ji Lee is a qualified therapist and a creative coach, providing unique, authentic connection coaching. Acts for Transformation aims to help 10,000 people to a mastery of their own life. Come and sign up for a trial session now.
Are you a highly successful, purpose-driven professional woman who is tired of settling for less than what you want? If yes, then you need a copy of Dr. Denise Moore's book, Own Your Amazing, Discover Your Power to Create an Amazing Life You Love. In this award-nominated and number one best-selling book, Dr. Denise provides the essential principles you need to find your voice and live your worth out loud. Go to ownyouramazingnow.com to get a free excerpt from the book.
What you know about money is making you broke. I'm author Ted McClymon. I help smart, busy people discover why your money temperament is making you broke and then show you how to fix it in 5 easy steps. Discover Your Money Temperament, A Common Sense Guide to Financial Security, is an easy read for everybody who spends money and wants to make better money choices. Order your copy now at www.tedmcclymon.com and learn why success with money is about managing your behavior, not your money.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Sarah Winokur, talking about her journey from science to writing. So let's talk about your book. Let's talk about that, you know, more deeply, more in details. It's called Double Blind, The Icelandic Manuscript Murders, and it's a mystery thriller. Tell us a little bit about how you got the idea for, you know, for the thriller part and what the reader can expect.
Sure. Well, it is, as you say, it's a fast-paced mystery thriller, and the protagonist is a forensic geneticist named Brynja Palsdottir. She's Icelandic, and she uses Iceland's national DNA database to solve crimes. Mm-hmm. 20 years earlier, her young brother had vanished from a fjord, and suddenly this mysterious poem lands on her desk with clues as to his whereabouts. And those clues are drawn from a medieval manuscript of Icelandic sagas, and after a while, more poems start to arrive, but now they come with direct threats, and she becomes actually the target of an assassin. And so the stakes are continuously raised until she has got to confront head on a dark secret that's buried in her family's past. And so the book really involves a lot of genetics and sagas and poems and plant poisons and all kinds of things that I just chose to weave together into this mystery. I had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun to do and to read. So I love the idea about the poems, because there's a lot of mystery or murder mysteries where, you know, the killer sends letters or whatever, but not poems. I've heard of poems before. How did you get that idea?
Well, Iceland does have this literary heritage of Icelandic sagas that were written in the 13th century. So they're medieval manuscripts.
Oh.
And there are poems that are woven throughout these. And I just thought that would be a good place to start, because, as you know, poetry is sort of up for interpretation, you know. And, you know, I thought, you know, different people could read it different ways. And so that kind of led to the mystery of, you know, whether she was hunting down the right person or not.
Right. Very nice. I love that. You know, I'm a writer myself, and I find that sometimes when I'm writing, the character takes a life of its own, you know, and you kind of had a plan to go this way, but it goes a different way. Did you have that experience when you're writing this book?
Yeah, I certainly did. I mean, I knew where it was going to start, and I knew how it would end up, sort of like who done it. But sort of the big chunk in the middle, it was a little bit fluid, and I just sort of let the writing take me where it did, and I just sort of followed the character around. It felt like I was experiencing, you know, her journey with her.
Yeah, Yeah, it's so fun because, and people who don't write may think, you know, we're a little crazy when you say the character takes a personality of their own and they want to do this. And they're like, what are you talking about? You created the character. But it's such a true phenomenon. And until I became a writer, I didn't have ever experienced it. But I always wonder if all writers feel like that or it's just me. So it sounds absolutely fantastic. Anything else that you want to say about the book?
I just hope people enjoy it. I'm currently writing a sequel to it that involves a number of the same characters. It's a different mystery altogether, but it's still it involves some genetics and certainly Iceland itself.
Oh, fantastic. Very, very nice. Beautiful. So let's talk about how to get a hold of you in the book.
Oh, okay. Well, I do have a website, which is my name, www.sarawinokur.com. It's SarawinOkur.com. And I post a number of blogs and news and information about genetics in Iceland and writing on there. I also have a Facebook page, Sarah Winokur, and an Instagram account. And readers can find my book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and many independent bookstores.
Fantastic. You can also find Sarah on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Just click on the radio show page. She's already there with her picture, a link to this interview, and a link to her website. And make sure to pass this interview along. Once we're done, there'll be a replay of it available indefinitely. So pass it on because it's a really good interview, a lot of great information. Very good. So,
great.
Sarah, is there something you'd like to say to listeners, something that might be on your heart today?
I guess I would just say to be true to yourself and and stretch yourself to live the life that you might imagine, but maybe we're a little too hesitant to make that leap and experience new things. I'm reminded of this astronaut who just recently spent almost a year in the International Space Station, and she was part of the all-female spacewalk crew, and she said, do what scares you. And I think that the reason for that is, sometimes we are scared to try something new, but it probably means that it's important to you if it scares you that much. And so I just like to say to take that first step.
Yeah. I love that. I love to do what scares you. I was terrified to start this radio show 7 years ago, and I'm literally terrified. I didn't want to air my first episode, and I was at a little station out of L.A., and Raven, the owner, she kept saying, you're ready, you're ready. And I'm like, I'm not ready, but I had to take
it. I know. I don't know that we ever feel that we're completely ready, but just jump in.
Great. We had talked earlier about perseverance. And it takes a lot of perseverance to complete a book, especially a book with as much research that went into it as yours, you know, with as much science. So let's talk a little bit more about that. You know, why do you think people maybe give up just before whatever it is has come to fruition? Because that's kind of the saddest thing.
Yes, I think it might be, you know, partially fear of failure, that you can't really complete it, and you don't know how your work will be received. But really, you're doing it for yourself and just for your own growth. It is a lot of work. It sounds maybe fairly simple. I'm just going to write a book. I've got a great idea. I know what I want to include. But there's so much involved in terms of, you know, character development and setting. And as we talked about before, you do want to be authentic, even though it's a work of fiction. It has to ring true. I mean, someone once said that fiction has to be truer than fact. For you're asking people to come into your world, and you need them to believe it.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, it has to be believable, even a movie. For me, it has to be believable. Otherwise, I mean, I have a mind that will tear everything apart, you know, and I'm like, that couldn't possibly happen. know, there's science fiction and there's things that you that are supernatural and things like that. But
sure.
All in all, it has to make sense. That's very important to me as a reader. So I'm glad it's important
right.
to you as a writer, because, you know, there you have a beautiful piece that people can really sink their teeth into. Very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
What else would you like to say about your book or about anything else?
Well, I know it's a very difficult time for people all the way around with this mm-hmm. pandemic that we're undergoing. And as time goes on, it gets more and more wearing. But as a scientist, I know that we will surmount this difficulty. And I feel sooner rather than later, and just sort
right.
of have to hang in there.
Mm-hmm. It's good to hear that and, from a scientific point of view. Thank you for saying
right.
that.
Right. I am confident in that, yes.
Awesome. You do get weary and we do get tired, and it feels like it's forever, like anything that's unpleasant, right? It feels like it's never going to end.
Right. At the beginning, it was just sort of shocking, and is this real? And okay, we have to do this and that. But it has had so many repercussions on, you know, schooling and the elderly and socialization. It's very, very difficult, but it will not last forever. It
very
will nice. End in a few months. Right.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That's the best thing I've heard about the pandemic from anyone. And thank
yeah.
you for sharing that, because the listeners need to hear that as well. We have to, you know, take heart. Here in Orange County, California, we were just taken off the COVID-19 watch list, which just two
Yay.
Days ago.
That's Sunday, right.
I was like
yeah.
thrilled yesterday, because I'm like, you know what? It's progress. It's not where we want it to be yet, but it's progress. And so that's always
That's right. And we have to keep that in mind. That's right.
Yeah.
It's not going to last yeah. forever.
Right. And I think perseverance comes in that as well. You know, you've been talking about perseverance through the show, and we have to persevere and do the best that we can and be as happy as we can and still continue to enjoy our lives. Don't you think?
You're absolutely right. And I you know, in addition to perseverance, it's acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, we can't, I mean, we can do what we can do in terms of, you know, protecting ourselves and others. But we have to accept that this is our new reality for a little while, and we do what we just have to do what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely true, Sarah. Thank you so much. Is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener as we're closing?
Well, I hope that everyone has a little bit of time to read and sort of escape the reality of our current situation, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Yeah, I love that. I'm reading, I sometimes read 2 and 3 books at a time, but it is a wonderful way to escape. I remember being a little kid and I was, well, the kids were outside playing. I was on my bed reading. I used to be a big fan of Nancy Drew Mysteries and the Hardy Boys.
Yes.
I remember mm-hmm. my mom coming in and saying, you need to put that book down and go out and play. And and I was in my own world, you know, I was having a ball. This is so wonderful. So,
yes,
so
I can totally relate to that, Mari.
I had a feeling. But, and I did, you know, I did go out and play, but reading was just such a part of my life, and I could get lost in those characters, and I felt like I was them, you know, and I think your book has that element that we can go in and we can be that, you know, that scientist, and we can go in and
that's
solve
right.
that. So it sounds like so much
and that's,
fun.
That's part of the joy of reading, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It has been a total pleasure having you, and thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Like I said, be sure to pass this along. There'll be a replay right after it, and make sure you listen in next time to Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
Thank
everyone.
You. Okay. Bye-bye.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.